Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." My text gives to us a sum and the substance of all that Christianity is. I don't think I would have to stay long to remind you that this sum and substance of Christianity would have very little meaning unless it had for us a personal application. What good is the scope of redemption if I do not know this morning that I have been included in it? What about the book of life if I cannot have the assurance today that my name is written there? The world has seen the birth of many religions. Many reform movements have come into existence, even in our own time. A brand new religion has in recent weeks made its debut into the religious society of the world. And yet we see on every hand a spiritual unrest. Observe, if you will, the countenance of the people that you meet on the street. Even though there might be a smile upon their face, underneath, in the case of many, there is the clear-cut indication that there is an uneasiness and an unsettled feeling deep within their hearts. Man must learn that religion cannot bring peace and happiness. When I say religion, I mean those religions that are not based on the Word of God. But I know someone this morning that can give you peace and happiness and joy and satisfaction for your soul. I know one to whom you can go and bring the burdens of your heart and life and find rest for your weary soul. For he said almost 2,000 years ago, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus Christ has all that the world needs today. One poet put it this way: "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast.' I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." I hear someone asking today, "But preacher, is there anything to Christianity? Can I indeed stake the destiny of my eternal soul on the claims of an almost obscure carpenter who walked the streets of Palestine almost 2,000 years ago? Is God real? Is there anything to this business of life and life after death? Can I indeed anchor my faith in one whom I have never seen?" The answer to all of these questions is yes, mister, you can. Is there anything to Christianity? Is God real? Yes, God is just as real as you are this morning. My Bible tells me, and that's the only source of authority I know anything about. This is the only treasure that contains and is indeed the Word of God. I search all of the books of the world, and I cannot find God speaking to me till I look in the pages of his eternal word. And I read there that God created man in his own image. Mr. God is just as real as you are. Can I indeed place my faith in one I have never seen? Listen to the words of Peter: "Whom having never seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Is Christianity real? Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, I have come to reveal to you the Father. That's how real Christianity is today. And I want you to see for yourself just how real Christianity is as we consider the subject, Christianity, fact or fraud. If Christianity is not real, if Christ is not true, if indeed the Word of God is just another book, then we are of all men most deceived and most miserable. For if Christ is not all that he claimed to be, he's the world's greatest impostor. I want to stand before you this morning and tell you that Christianity is a fact. It is real. And we can have today a knowledge of a personal salvation. Someone asked Sir James Simpson, the great discoverer and scientist, what is the greatest discovery you ever made? To which he answered, the greatest discovery I ever made was when I learned that I was a poor lost sinner and I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. Somebody said, but preacher, if you'll explain God to me, I will believe. Forget it. I cannot explain God. You cannot explain God, but you can experience Him. You can open the door of your heart right this moment and let Jesus come in, and you will have God experienced in your life. I know this morning that there are many things that we cannot be sure of. There are a lot of things that I do not know. You could fire many questions of math and science and history and the languages and the cults of the world, and I could not answer them this morning. But there's one thing I do know today. I know that in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ lives. I know that I'm saved. I can take you to the time, I can take you to the place when he saved me by his marvelous grace. I wouldn't thank an angel to come this morning and stand on this pulpit and stand upon this platform and say to me, you are saved, because I already know it. I know this morning that we can have the assurance of a personal salvation. How do I know it? Because the Bible tells me so. I read in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have everlasting life. How do I know it? Because God tells me so. I know it because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Paul writes in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know it because the Bible makes it clear. I know it because Jesus told me so. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And one day I heard the voice of Jesus. I heard the Word of God, and I believed, and I know this morning, as much as I know I'm standing here, that I'm saved. I have the assurance today. I know it's real because I can feel it in my soul. I'm ready to pass over the man who guesses and listen to the man who knows. If I go to the doctor and he tells me, well, I think it's your heart, or I think it's this or that and the other, I want another doctor. I want a doctor who knows what's the matter. If I go to a man to build a house and he begins to guess and to tell me, I think it will cost this much, I think we'll use these materials, I want to pass him up and get a man who can say, preacher, I know what we can build this house for. If I go to buy something and the clerk says, well, I think it costs $9.98. I'm not sure. I want to get a clerk who knows what the price tag is. And when it comes to this business of a personal relationship to God, I wouldn't give anything for a religion that does not bring me a personal assurance. An absolute assurance. An undeniable assurance that everything is well with my soul. As they sang a while ago, oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me, I would not the truth receive. I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. When the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear, for I did not have the witness of the Spirit bright and clear. If at times the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so uneasy, for God's smile I could not find. But at last I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt, for I wanted God to give me something that I would know about, so the truth would make me happy, and the light would clearly shine, and the Spirit gave assurance that I am His and He is mine. So I prayed to God in earnest, and not caring what folks said, I was hungry for the blessing. My poor soul, it must be fed. When at last by faith I touched Him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me, oh, bless God, I know it's real. That's what I have to offer you this morning, mister. Oh, you say, but Pastor, are there never any doubts? Oh, yes, there are doubts. Oh, yes, Satan comes around once in a while and tries to get us to doubt. But you know what I always do? I take him back to the Word. And you know he cannot answer the Word. Jesus defeated him in the hour of temptation when he said, it is written. And when the devil tries to get me to doubt my salvation, I point him to Calvary. And I say, Satan, listen to me. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Now you go paddle your papers to someone else. I'll not believe that lie. I believe this morning that we can know. There was a Negro who was working about a produce company, and all the help around there were always chiding him about his faith, about his being a Christian, about his being saved. One day he was loading a sack of potatoes off the dock, and as he walked down the long plank of the dock, one of them behind him said, really now, do you mean to try to tell me that you know that you're saved? And the colored man never looked around. He just dropped the sack of potatoes and he just kept on walking, and without ever turning around, he said to the man who had asked him the question, don't you think I know that I've dropped a sack of potatoes? Oh, yes, he said, surely you can. He said, but I haven't turned around to see. Oh, he said, I know, but the weight is gone. The colored man said, yes, mister, that's exactly it. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the burden of my heart rolled away and the weight is gone, and I know that I'm saved. And we can say with the Apostle Paul this morning, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. We have the knowledge of a personal salvation. Not only that, but we have the knowledge of God's constant care and God's constant concern for our lives. I read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know. Isn't that a strong, emphatic word? No. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, I realize that there come things in our lives that we don't quite understand and we can't comprehend, but listen to a man who speaks from experience. The Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. He had been beaten and bruised. He had been imprisoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had suffered all of these things. And you know, not all of these things were good. Paul didn't say they were good. But he said all of these things are working together for my good. some of the experiences that you have. They are not always good. Only a fool would say they are good. But if you view them in the light of God's word, you can say with Paul, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A child gets struck down by a fast-moving automobile. Is that good? Who said it was? A man in the prime of his life is taken down with an incurable disease. Is that good? Who said it was? A mother is taken away in death from her little children. Is that good, preacher? Who said that was good? Paul did not say all of these things were good. He said they all work together for our good. A lone survivor from a shipwreck was tossed upon an uninhabited island. And there he gathered some things together with what little bit he could salvage, and built him a hut. And day after day he prayed for God to deliver him. And the answer never came. One day, in the cool of the season, he went out to hunt some food to eat and left a little fire burning in his crude hut. And while he was gone, the hut caught fire and it burned completely to the ground. And when he returned, his first thought was, oh my, now everything I've got is gone. What a tragedy, what a catastrophe, how terrible. It's not enough to be shipwrecked on a lonely island, but to have all that I've gotten and all that I've accumulated go up in ashes. But the next morning on the horizon, he saw the outline of a ship. Day after day he had prayed for God to send a ship along, and God had answered his prayer. And when the ship came close enough to rescue him, and when they took him on board, his first question was, but tell me, how on earth did you know that I was here? All the captain said, we saw your smoke signal and we knew that you were in distress. My friends, those things that happen to disappoint you in life, those things that seem altogether bad and uncomfortable and uncalled for, and from the human standpoint, some of them don't make sense. But remember, all things work together for the good of them that love God. Blind faith or unbelief is sure to err and scan his ways in vain. But God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. The things that we cannot see, the things that we cannot know, the things that we cannot understand, for we are looking at them from beneath and God is looking at them from above. All of our tomorrows, listen to me this morning, all of our tomorrows are already in God's eternal today. He will never be surprised at what's going to happen to you. He already knows. I'm glad that he's still on his throne this morning. I'm glad he's still reigning and ruling in the universe. Though it often seems that error and falsehood and unrighteousness are on the throne while truth has been dethroned, wait until you've seen the last chapter, because God will write last, God will speak last, God will move last. God is still on his throne this morning, and all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. We can know then and have the assurance of God's constant concern for our lives. The ups, the downs, the disappointments, the crises, the turning points, the difficulties, death, bankruptcy, sickness, problems, heartaches, disappointments. Put them all in a shovel and pile them up, and then write across every one of them Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Christianity, fact or fraud? We have the knowledge of a personal salvation. We have the knowledge of God's constant concern for our lives. But not only that, we have the knowledge of a better life in the world to come. What of this life? What of this body? Is this all of it? When we come to the end of the way and fold our frail tents of flesh and cease to be, is this the end? Do we have not something more to look forward to? This is not the end. This is not all. Beyond is much better. How do I know? God tells me so. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Paul's not guessing here. He knows. He has had the revelation. And he writes, we know that if this body, this life ceases to be, we have an eternal dwelling place with the Father, not made with hands. How do I know? Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How do I know? Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How do I know there's a better life in the world to come? John writes, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is there not a better life to come? I know there is, because Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What of your own personal faith? How much do you make of Christianity? How much do you consider that Christ is worth in your life? All of the false religions of the world today cannot bring to us the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to the tomb of Buddha, and Buddha is there rotting away in the grave. I go to the tomb of Mohammed, and Mohammed is rotting away in the grave. I go to the tomb of Confucius, and Confucius is rotting away in the grave. But I go yonder to Palestine. I go yonder to a new-made tomb. I go yonder to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. I go there where they laid the body of Jesus Christ, and I search in that tomb, and I find not the body of the Son of God. And the messenger of God gives to my soul the most comforting news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He is risen. And Jesus said, marvel not at this. Marvel not. Don't be surprised at this. When he was talking about raising people from the dead. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life. They that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now what is our hope this morning? In some system of philosophy that tells us that man can reason and think himself into a right relationship with God? Oh no. In some false religion that tells us that man will come back and be reincarnated into a better being, and in another cycle of reincarnation into a better being until he is a part of all of that which is good? No, the Bible says, only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. No man cometh but by me. It's a hopeless quest that a man sets out upon to find God outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is real. It can be real in your heart today. Just how real is it? How real is it to your neighbors when they see your Christian life? Do you have that certain knowledge that Christ is yours? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. We thank Thee today that we have the certain knowledge that Jesus Christ lives within. We beg Thee this morning, Heavenly Father, make Him real to those who do not know Him. Should there be those who have entered into our gates without Christ, make them know today that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Help them to know and understand that He's the living Lord, that they cannot be saved any other way but by Him and Him alone. Whether there be a boy, a girl, a young man, or a young woman, a mother, a dad, whoever it might be, may they have the assurance of salvation today. May we all have the assurance of Thy constant concern for our lives in view of Romans 8:28. And may there spring forth from us today the eternal hope of a better life in the world to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.